In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we hear about how our Lord Jesus Christ casts the demons out of this poor demoniac, this man who's been possessed, oppressed, assaulted, whose life has been controlled by the powers of darkness. And we see how our Lord has power over the demons. They're terrified of him, aren't they? They flee from him. All he has to do is say the word. He doesn't even have to say the word. All he has to do is will it. They have no power over him. So we see that Christ is our freedom from the powers of darkness. But here's a question. Why do the demons oppress us in the first place? What is it that they want? Why are they so persistent in attacking human beings? Why do they bother with us at all? You know, we could approach this question from another angle and ask this: what is the most precious thing in all of creation? What's the center of the whole universe, the whole created world? We know that ancient people believed that the earth was at the center of everything. Now we modern people have figured out that the earth revolves around the sun instead of the other way around. Now we have a heliocentric solar system instead of a geocentric one, right? But then you have to realize that the whole solar system is moving. And the whole galaxy, you know, the Milky Way galaxy. And wait, the whole universe is actually expanding. So now where's the center? We don't know anymore. I mean, as a world, apart from Christ, you know, as a fallen world, we don't know where our center is. So then if you don't have a center anymore, what happens? The only center we have is ourselves. We become self-centered, right? This is the way the world is. This is what the world teaches us, to be self-centered. But actually, this is the beautiful truth of which that's a counterfeit, that idea that we're self, that we should be self-centered. The beautiful reality is this: God did create us human beings, men and women, people made in God's image. He created us to be at the very center of the universe. Man is the crown of creation. Everything is created for us so that we might experience it in communion with God, so that everything might be a means of communion with God, so that we might see the beauty of all of the rest of creation and offer that beauty back to God in a hymn of praise and glorification and thanksgiving. This is the purpose of everything. And this is the way the famous theologian Vladimir Lasky puts it: at the center of the universe beats the heart of man. At the center of the universe beats the heart of man. We know how important our physical heart is. We have some folks in our community who have recently gone through open heart surgery. We know if our heart's in trouble, we're in trouble, right? Our spiritual hearts are the center of our souls, just as our physical hearts are at the center of our bodies. And if the heart is well, all is well. And if the heart is sick, nothing is well. Now we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, is the true man. He shows us what it means to be human. He shows us what it means to be in the image of God and like God. Because he is himself both God and man, he reveals God to us in himself. He reveals divinity to us, and he also reveals humanity to us, true humanity, what a true human being looks like. He shows us what a real human heart, a healthy human heart is like. And he brings the cure to us. But the Holy Trinity created every one of us, every single human being, to be with Christ at the center of the universe, in communion with God, in communion with one another, at the very center of creation. He created us for our heart to beat with his heart, for our life to be joined with his life, for him to dwell in our heart always, our Lord Jesus Christ. For our hearts to be well means for them to contain Christ. So now, let's answer the question that we asked. What is it that the demons are after? They're after our hearts. They want to defile, to destroy, to demean our hearts. They want to make our hearts impure. They want to kill our hearts. They want to make it impossible for our hearts to function as they should, to be filled with love for God, for Christ to dwell there. This is what they want. They recognize that Christ has made our hearts to be his dwelling place, his temple, and they want to defile the temple. This is what they're after. And so they attack the human heart. And if you look around at the world, you see this happening. This is the key to understanding. This is the decoder ring to figuring out what's going on in the world, to recognize that what it is the demons are trying to destroy human hearts. That's it. That's their game. That's their, to the degree that they even work together cooperatively, that's what they're doing. That's what they're after. All the confusion, all the tragedy, all the mess in this world, it's all for the destruction of human hearts. All the smut, all the garbage entertainment, all the drugs and alcoholism, all the bizarre gender craziness and sexual chaos and everything that exists in the world. It's all to defile our hearts so that they will no longer be able to be dwelling places for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christians have to simply say no to all of that. No, we will not have our hearts trampled on by Satan. No, our hearts belong to Christ. Now I want to share with you what some of our recent saints teach us about our hearts. And here there are three critical points. First, that our spiritual heart, the heart of man, is the most finely tuned instrument. This is what it's meant to be, and this is what Satan has tried to destroy. It's the most finely tuned instrument which is capable of receiving revelation directly from God. It's like the radio receiver that is capable of receiving that signal of God's revelation. Listen to what Father Seraphim Rose says, and this is in his book, God's Revelation to the Human Heart, one of the required reading books for our catechumens. Why is the truth, it would seem, revealed to some and not to others? Seems that, you know, some people are able to receive and understand God's revelation and others not. Is there a special organ for receiving revelation from God? Yes, though usually we close it and do not let it open up. God's revelation is given to something called a loving heart. He says a loving heart, meaning, in other words, a heart that's functioning the way it's supposed to. The problem, the reason why it's so easy for us to be deluded and to be deceived, is that our heart is not functioning the way, so often, it's not functioning the way it ought to, and so the enemy can deceive us. Regarding the second point, that in our hearts there can be paradise. This is another critical point that we have to recognize, because we say, look, you know, there's no paradise on earth. It's true, in the fallen world, we can't expect to find a paradise. But the saints teach us that paradise can exist in our hearts when they're given to God. Listen to what Saint Nikon of Optina says. There never was and never will be a place on earth free from sorrow. The only sorrowless place possible is the heart when God is present there. So brothers and sisters, we can't go always trying to change our outward circumstances, running here and there and everywhere, thinking to find paradise. The only place, the only sorrowless place that there can be in this world, the only true paradise is our hearts when they're purified and they're remade as temples of God, and God is dwelling there. This is what the saints teach us. So our heart is given to us to be this finely tuned instrument for God's revelation. It's given to us to be the place, the garden that we cultivate, the Garden of Eden within us. And when we cultivate that garden, when we open it up and Christ is dwelling there and walks there with us, then we have perfect joy, like Adam and Eve, if they had simply refused the lie of Satan and remained with the Lord in paradise. And thirdly, our heart, therefore, is the place where we must do the most important work in our lives. The most critical work we can do is the purifying of our heart and the preserving of grace in our hearts. And regarding this point, this is what it says in the book Unseen Warfare, which is edited by Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain and revised by Saint Theophan. They contributed to this work, Saint Theophan the Recluse. It says, "Your constant care should be not to let your heart become agitated or troubled, but to use every effort to keep it peaceful and calm. Seeing your efforts and endeavors," because it is a great monumental effort, right? A heroic, ascetical effort is needed from us in order to do what they're saying, what the saints are saying here. So to keep our heart peaceful and calm. And they say, "Seeing your efforts and endeavors, God will send you his grace." Because he sees us struggling, wanting to be faithful, struggling and many times failing, but really he sees the intention of our heart that we want to be faithful, and he sends his grace, and he will make your soul a city of peace. A city of peace. And of course, St. Isaac the Syrian says, "Find peace within you, peace with God within you, and then the whole world will be at, you'll be at peace with the whole world," St. Isaac the Syrian says. And here in Unseen Warfare, it goes on to say that, therefore, if we want to cultivate peace within us, if we want to keep our hearts peaceful and calm, we must not seek praise, we must not seek honors, but we must cultivate humility and simplicity and trust in God. And when difficulties come, when trials come, we recognize them, we embrace them as God's providence and his way of humbling us and of purifying our heart and of making our heart truly a garden and a temple and a home where he can dwell. And we could add that frequent confessing of our sins is one of the most powerful weapons we have in fighting against the thoughts of the enemy with which he constantly bombards us, to get them out, to confess them, and you know, not to go around carrying the heavy burden of all of the defilements that come from the enemy. This is the purpose of confession, that the heart that's become defiled can be cleansed again, become pure again, and we walk away from the laver of confession cleansed, washed, clean, able to make a fresh start. And the Holy Fathers say, every time you fall down, you have to get back up. And as many times as you sin, you have to confess your sins. And even if you can't come to the sacramental confession every single time, you're confessing to the Lord every single time. "Lord, forgive me for this thought that I've just had, this thing that I've just fallen into, this passion that I keep falling into over and over and over again. Forgive me, heal me, have mercy on me. We constantly offer our hearts to Christ in confession. And along with frequent confession, we cleanse our hearts through the divine liturgy, through receiving the holy mysteries, with preparation, through reading the Holy Scripture and all the other holy writings of the Church, and through prayer, especially the Jesus Prayer, and especially calling upon the Mother of God and all the saints for their intercessions. St. Paul tells us in the epistle that we heard today to be cheerful givers, and usually I think we think of this in terms of outward things. But first and foremost, we're called cheerfully to give our hearts in love, cheerfully to offer our hearts to God, cheerfully to offer our hearts in love to those around us. This is what God desires for us, and this is what the demons are trying to destroy, to prevent, to make impossible. So may the Lord indeed free our hearts from the assaults and oppression of the demons, from their sick and twisted thoughts. May He fill them, our hearts, with His grace through the prayer that the Church gives us to pray and the holy mysteries, especially the Jesus Prayer, but all of the prayers and the holy mysteries of the Church. And may He help us to preserve that grace. And may we struggle in cooperation with that grace to give our hearts to Him as His dwelling place. Amen.